written from Rome to Colossians by Tychicus and Onesimus. In Missions, Send the Light, Part 4. We begin with verse 2 to 4. Pray for open door. That was the Apostle Paul's request, that the Lord may grant that a door of utterance be given, that man may be saved. And in verse 5, this work is to be spirit-led, and there is an urgency to the work. Redeem the time. Redeem the time. And there is also the need for equipping. How can we be a testimony if our lives are not changed, if our understanding of the truth is not forthcoming? How can we bear a testimony for the sake of Christ? And therefore, there is a need for equipping. That is why you would notice that in the Great Commission, the first two portions, go with the gospel, the second to baptize. But the third, the Lord says that teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. That's the part that will take a long time and requires time. And it requires that the heart be willing and the heart be committed to change, to allow the Spirit of God to influence us so that our hearts may be changed, our hearts may be transformed. And so Paul speaks about that equipping. And from 7 to 18, he's going to share with us a picture of his fellow workers, those whom he could, by the providence of God, do the work. And he would share with us a number of people, a handful of people, not many. You would notice the tone in which he sets the message. He says in verse 7, "All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts. With Onesimus, a faithful brother and beloved brother, who is one of you, they shall make known unto you all things which are done here." So the letter, this letter to the Colossians, is to be carried, or was carried, by Tychicus and Onesimus. Onesimus is a member of the church. Philemon is a member of the Colossian church. He was the master. Then there is this man called Onesimus. He was a slave in the household of Philemon, who ran away. And when he ran away, he ended up in Rome, and he ended up being saved under the ministry of the Apostle Paul. And now Paul is sending him back to carry the letter. And also, a man transformed, changed, no more runaway, no more runaway slave. And he's going to go back, and he's going to serve in the church. And Paul says that he treat him like one of you. He's asking Philemon, the master, to accord to Onesimus, the slave, the servant, the right hand of fellowship. The Apostle Paul had many co-workers who supported his ministry, and Tychicus was one beloved brother who served with him. This man will personally carry the letter and share it with the church in Colossae, whom the church likely knew. And Tychicus is mentioned in Acts chapter 20, verse 4, and they accompanied him into Asia, Sopater of Berea, and of the Thessalonians, Aristarchus, Secundus, and Gaius of Derbe, and Timotheus and of Asia, and Tychicus and Trophimus. And you would notice that Paul is in his last portion of his journey of life. If you look at the chronology of events since the ascension of Christ in AD 30 and Paul's conversion in AD 37, we are now at the time between 61, 63 AD, at the time when he was in prison in Rome and he wrote these epistles. And this would be the last years of his life before his martyrdom in 67, 68 AD. And you would also see how the gospel went forth. Right? You look at the other chart, from Jerusalem to Antioch and to Rome. Paul and Barnabas were from Antioch, the church in Antioch, in Syria, and how the word of God went forth from Jerusalem in its outreach predominantly to the Jews, then to the Gentiles, and then to the rest of the world. And you can see the development and movement. God used Peter, and God used Peter and Barnabas at Antioch, and finally God used the Apostle Paul from Acts 13 to 28. And he went forth in 16 years, from AD 47 to 63, 16 years to do the work. And the church expanded. Right? The church expanded before he was finally incarcerated. And you will notice also it is during this time that many of the epistles were being written. The book of Timothy and Titus being the last epistles. You will notice that we are at the book of Colossians, 62, 63 AD, where Ephesians, Philemon, Philippians were written. And so they were tasked to carry these letters. And how did all this happen? What did Paul do? Well, God, you recall, caused him to answer the Macedonian call when he had by night a man saying to him, come over to help us. And so the Lord sent him, instead of going north to Bithynia, to Asia, he went west to Europe. And that's the modern day Greece, in which he was a part of, and he went forth to to serve. And in Acts 19, we follow the story when he went from Corinth to Ephesus. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus. And finding certain disciples, he saith to them, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believe? And they said unto him, we have not much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what men are ye baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Then Paul says, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. So Paul preaches the gospel of Christ. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came upon them, and they speak with tongues and prophesy, and all the men were about 12. And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for a space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when the diverse were hardened and believed not, right, after he preached, there were those whose heart were hardened. They would not follow, they would not believe, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, of the way of Christ. And he departed from them and separated the disciples. Why did he separate the disciples? Because there were those who were following and there were those who were not. And this separation allowed him to nurture those who are truly following. And there he did daily disputing in the school of one Tyrannus. And this continued by the space of 2 years. And all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus. And that was what happened. There was a separation. Why was there a need? Because if there isn't, then the work will be hampered. Why was it hampered? Because there were those whose hearts were hardened. They were there, but their hearts were hardened. They would not listen. They will not change. And they would disrupt the things of God. And that's no good. And so what happened? Then you would see that Paul did this, and 2 years he taught in the school of one Tyrannus. And that's how the people heard the word. And it is during those times that the church worked by the true gospel, by the Holy Spirit, founded many other churches in what we call modern-day Turkey, right? The seven churches of Revelation. You would see those churches were founded. Paul did not found the church in Colossae. It was Tychicus. He was there, and Tychicus was he's one of the missionary, what we said, a missionary fellow worker with him that was in Rome when he wrote this letter. And so he was there in Asia, and we believe that, he heard the word and was soundly converted and was taught and could be sent. And this means that, to be sent means that, they have that same one understanding of the truth, right? How can someone be sent if it has no same understanding of the truth, right? If the doctrines are different, the teachings are different, then it would be, another gospel, isn't it? And that is where you see Paul in his work find it most challenging, but the Lord overruled all the time. And the Lord overruled. And that is why Paul, the Lord, raised up the man called Tychicus. He was a dear brother, faithful servant in the Lord, and the Lord used him to encourage Paul in his difficult circumstances, especially during his imprisonment. And Paul sent him with a letter going back. So Paul did not say anything about his current state in the prison. But Paul sent Tychicus. So Tychicus will give all the information that was needed. And so he is the one who will be a representative of Paul. And Paul says that he's a beloved brother, faithful minister in the Lord. In other words, he was a servant of God, trusted, faithful, and submitted to the will of God completely. And so here, Paul uses the term, "I have sent this letter," and Tychicus was the man who would carry the letter. And Tychicus will comfort the hearts of the people in the churches whom Paul was sent. He will, relieve all anxiety from the hearts of the people, knowing that God is sovereignly in charge. God has a purpose, right? Just as when Christ was betrayed and sent to the cross, Peter said, "No, you shouldn't go," right? And what did Jesus said to Peter? "Get thee behind me, Satan. It was not the will of God." And here, You would see Tychicus going back together with the man called Onesimus. Onesimus, the slave. And Onesimus would be protected by Tychicus, and because there are many what we call slave catchers that would go and pound on these slaves, right, who are being who are running away from their masters. Right? So Paul is saying here, right, that receive Onesimus as a faithful and beloved brother. The same term in which he used to describe Tychicus, and he entrusted to this servant that letter, right, knowing that Onesimus would be someone who would be able, right, to go back there and be able to have the full confidence of the Colossians and to be able to share concerning the work and the movement of the gospel. Hendrickson likewise observed who Tychicus is, that he indeed was traveled with Paul from Macedonia to Troas, and he was one who waited for the apostle in that city. And now, 4 years later, having spent time with Paul in Rome, now he had been commissioned to carry the letter to the Colossians. And here you would have noticed that they not only carry the book of Colossians, they also carry the book of Ephesians. For in the book of Ephesians 6:21 to 22, it is also said that Paul entrusted Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, that he sent for that same purpose, that ye might know our affairs and that he might comfort your hearts. To have the same worldview, to have the same understanding is very important, right? Because that means the same actions. So the description of Tychicus as the beloved brother and faithful servant, minister and servant in the Lord, shows their identity, that they had a like understanding of the truth, and that he, being a man of sound judgment, would be the right person to supply all the necessary information about Paul and his companions and fellow Christians in Rome. You see, at that time, you notice that they are all under threat. Christians are under great threat. They lose their livelihood, they lose their lives, they lose their loved ones, they lose their possessions. To be a Christian means that, you know, they have to be fully committed to Christ and his cause, and that there are many enemies, many who want to incarcerate them. And so many would pay great ransom or pay a great price for their head. And therefore, it was a precarious work of faith that we are speaking about. That Paul himself is in prison, ready to be executed. So, in such circumstances, you recall, only those who are trusted, right? Trusted means have the same understanding of the same mind, right? And you remember, Paul was delivered many a times because someone came and informed him that the enemy is coming. And that's how he escaped. Right? There was one time he escaped by a basket on the wall, on the city wall. Someone lowered him, went off, ran away. And other times, it was informed to the military chief in the city, and he sent guards to protect him. Those were situations whereby you see God's superintending, God's hand, taking care of his servant. And so you see here that Paul, by this time, is no longer a young man. He has been in the ministry for more than 30 years, and he has gone through shipwrecks, he has gone through stoning, he has gone through whipping. You know, being whipped is not a small thing, right? In the Jews, they whip 39 times. 39 times. He's whipped several times, you know. So what can come out of all this kind of physical torment? You know, we think sometimes some inconvenience that we have to serve the Lord is like that and like that, and we find it so inconvenient. Right? But for these people, they have to suffer pain. Oftentimes, he says, I suffer hunger, I suffer thirst. I suffered, he said. He suffered loneliness. And that's a different thing, you know. Right? It's easy to say that I want to serve the Lord, and, you know, and we say this very true, isn't it? Right? We lived in a very spoiled society, very spoiled world. Right? And because of our, situation, sometimes, we just are not in that position, right, to properly serve and do the work of God. And so you will notice as we study these epistles that the people of God served with a price, to pay a price. And Philippians 1, verse 12 to 14, Paul says, but I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather for the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places, and many of the brethren in the Lord wax confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. So Paul's imprisonment has emboldened the Christians. Why? Because they said, hey, how come he's willing to suffer there? You mean he's not afraid of pain? He's not afraid of these things or that thing? Well, here Paul is saying to them that it is the Spirit of God that was with him. Right, the Spirit of God that enabled him to see later on in the book of Timothy, who said that out of all these things, the Lord delivered me. In other words, he was in the will of God, and in the center of God's will, he was able to cause that the word of God may go forth in a mighty way, and to accomplish its purpose. And so he had these companions, he had this men who were fellow workers with him. Right? Verse 10 says, Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you. Well, he may not be the person as Paul being incarcerated in prison, but he was there in Rome, and he understood the situation in Caesar's palace, and the prison there. You know, it's very interesting that he actually shared the gospel there in Rome. And the people in Rome, especially the people in Caesar's household, what we call the Praetorian Guards, these are the people who are the, well, we say that the military men of might in the Empire of Rome. And these men were converted. And it's interesting that this conversion of this man go a long way towards the change of the face of the Roman Empire in the years to come. But someone has to bear the brunt of the enemy. Someone has to bear the brunt of the toil. And, well, he was the man whom God had used, right, to be, to stand in the gap. So there is Aristarchus, his fellow prisoner, and there's Marcus, sister's son to Barnabas, and well, we see here that he is one of those who, well, served together with the Apostle Paul, and he was also one who, well, earlier, right, where Paul had a dispute with Barnabas, because Mark left them during the first missionary journey. You recall in Acts chapter 12, and how Paul, well, when they went, Mark just left them suddenly and went home. You see, when you are in the midst of the battle, right, they are in a spiritual warfare and in a battle, and the person was just not ready. And halfway, when they were in the midst of the battle, he wanted to go back. And how can it be? You want to go back. When you want to go back, well, you find that you the work is not accomplished. And sometimes there's a price to be paid. Well, that is something that we would have to realize, right, and know that if you are doing in the Lord's work and you are involved in a mission work, you can't simply leave. Right? I recall going to a particular city, and at home there were difficulties, children were young, and suddenly there were problems that came, and you receive a call, you can't go home. You can't take the next flight and say, I want to go home. You can't. And of course, it's tough, right? And but then I receive another call. We need to get some slides ready. We have to get things done. We have to get things moving. Well, we just have to focus, concentrate, and pray and commit the matter to the Lord. And that is it. And how to say, no, I don't want? Well, you have to trust the Lord. And you would see, well, I would say, on hindsight, right, the Lord has been faithful. Right? Although there were those moments of great anxiety, right? Anxiety, children are young and they are sick and they need help, you know, in the middle of the night. It's tough, difficult. But that's the reality, and far away. So what happened was that John Mark left, and went home. Right? Halfway he went home. So Paul says that when they begin the second missionary journey, Paul says, cannot. John Mark cannot come. But Barnabas said, no, John Mark. Barnabas left, right? Left with John Mark. And it was a situation, but the man was not ready at that time. But you notice also that with Paul, later on here, you see, John Mark became useful for the Lord, right? And Mark was the one who wrote the Gospel of Mark. And then there is Luke also, that was there. Luke the physician, who wrote the Gospel of Luke and the Gospel of Acts, or the Acts of the Apostles. The two of them were there with him. And so you would see that for the Apostle Paul, when he writes so many epistles, wow, he had all the information. It is said that did John Mark have his gospel with him? Luke have his gospel with him? And all the recorded situations with Christ? And you notice that when the apostles and when the gospel writer write the word of God, sometimes they write without them understanding or knowing what they are writing. They were moved by the Holy Spirit, moved by the Holy Ghost. And you say that they were able to do this research this way, that way, this and that. But at the end, well, the Bible says that the men of God move by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit enabled them to record those things. Right? The babe leap in the womb of John the Baptizer. How do you know? How do you see the babe leap in the womb? Right? The Spirit of God filled the child right from the womb. How do you tell? How can you know that the baby was baptized in the womb right at that time? You cannot tell except God, by the Spirit of God, inspired to cause them to be able to read and know and understand the truth, you see. And so you see that this work of writing the word is indeed a supernatural event. And Paul has his six men with him, right? And together with Timothy, seven of them. And they were. Then there is Epaphras, who was also there. He was one of those who loved God and served together. Verse 12. He was one of you, a servant of Christ, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that he may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. The man who labored fervently for you in prayers. You see, before a matter can be accomplished by action, you would see that the matter is first accomplished by prayers. And this Paul was able to understand because they probably had a time whereby they prayed for the church in Colossae, that the church in Colossae, right, may understand and know the will of God, that the Lord may protect his people and some of the people there. And so Epaphras, right, was a fellow servant of Christ, a fellow minister, together with Tychicus. He was also one of them who was with Paul. And then there is in verse 11, Justus, or Jesus, a Jew. And he says, my fellow worker unto the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me. It's a very comforting thing to be able to meet and someone who understands the things of God and who knows the things of God and who are in the same track to do the will of God. And that's very heartening. And so this, Paul says, it has been a comfort unto me. We know nothing further about this man. But here Paul speaks of him. And then we mention about Epaphras. He says in verse 13, "For I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you and them that are in Laodicea and in Hierapolis." If you go to modern-day Turkey, you'll be able to tour and you'll be able to see all these cities within driving distance, how these churches were being established. If you go to Laodicea today, you see just piles of stone. There are certain towns that are there. What about the church? What about the church? Epaphras was one who labored fervently, one who agonizes in prayer. And then there is Luke, the physician, and the one who wrote the gospel and the Acts of the Apostles. And then there is Demas. Right? Demas, Paul says nothing, add nothing, because in 2 Timothy 4:10, right a few years later, you would say, Demas hath forsaken us. He has loved this present world, and he's departed unto Thessalonica. Verse 16, "And when this epistle is read among you, cause it to be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that likewise read the epistle from Laodicea, and say to Acrippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it." Acrippus was perhaps a member of the family of Philemon, perhaps his son. The ministry he had received was the service committed to him when Epaphras left for Rome. And here we see the salutation by the hand of me, Paul. He says, "Remember my bonds. Grace be unto you." The gospel work that the Apostle Paul had took all the energy out of him. He dedicated his life to repay his gospel debt. Praise God for his example. How this was a man whom Christ was preeminent in his life. And we thank the Lord how he was able, by the inspiration of God, to write this epistle to help us so that we may have Christ too preeminent in our lives, as we have said, not only in our personal life, in the lives of our family, in our various relationships, in the workplace, in all different areas that Paul has touched on. May the Lord help us. Next Wednesday, we would begin the study of the book of Judges, which we have not covered, one of those books that we have not covered. We shall be looking at it, 21 chapters. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Father, we thank thee for thy word. Strengthen us by thy Holy Spirit and bless us as we completed this study of this book of Colossians by thy appointment. Strengthen us, Lord, to the truths that we have learned, and help us to meditate upon them and apply them for thy own honor and glory, that Christ may be preeminent in our lives. This I ask and pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.